stand as we reverence the reading of God's holy word. I won't keep you too long. If I see the sun going down, I know it's time to go home. Pastor Shelton was saying down in Bowling Springs this morning, he was saying he preached in the mountains, and he said them old mountain preachers, he said they preach for an hour, hour and a half, and if you don't do that, he said, then they think something's wrong. And I said, well, praise God. I ain't found a church in America letting me preach for an hour yet. But as we started driving and going up the mountains, I said, maybe I can preach for an hour tonight. Amen? No, in Africa, they don't care how long I preach. They'll sleep right through it all. And I'm for real. It's real funny to see a plastic chair do this when you slap the side of the pulpit. They get to jumping around and everything else. Daniel chapter number 1, and I'm going to try to begin reading in verse 17. Verse 17, I told you, preacher, I've had one word. I had another message that I'm way more comfortable preaching. But God gave me this word, and I don't know, somebody here needs it tonight. I need it. You know, I need it. Maybe I'm preaching to me and my family tonight. Maybe I'm preaching to us four tonight. But I think I might be preaching to everybody because I've heard some songs, and I like it when God uses songs to confirm that I'm right on time of what he wants me to preach tonight, and testimonies and prayer time and everything else. But verse number 17 begins and says, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge. Praise God, it only comes from knowledge. It only comes from God. Whatever skills and knowledge we have comes from God. And you better recognize that tonight. And it says, and skills in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hanel, Mishael, and Hazarah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all manner of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. Father in heaven, I come before you now in the precious name of your son. As feeble as I am, Lord, you know me, God, and you know my heart's desire, Lord, is only for your people to receive something from thy word tonight. Not for me to be seen, Lord, not for anyone to think anything of me, but Lord, I want your people to receive some help tonight. I want to receive some help tonight. Oh, God, if I can't get any help out of this, how can I expect anybody else? And Lord, I thank you for what it's done to encourage in my heart. Lord, just from studying and trying to put it together for your people. Oh, God, I ask you, I beg you, I plead with you, Father in heaven, Jesus be glorified tonight and somebody be drawn closer. And Lord, if there's a sinner in the house tonight, God, I pray you'd save them before they bust hell wide open, before they burn in the eternal fire. Oh, God, I ask you to pluck them out tonight. I pray they'd see Jesus high and lifted up. Lord, I pray you'd draw them unto yourself tonight. We ask it for his honor and his glory. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray and believe. Amen, amen. You can be seated. Well, we know here that that Judah has been taken into captivity, and Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon has overcame them. And we know that this nation has gotten wickeder and wickeder, and the kings have gotten worse and worse over time. And now Daniel is down in Babylon, and we see here that these four young men have been separated out. And I'm telling you today, it'd be good. I see some young men in here. If they just decide they're going to get separated out, I'm telling you, if we'll get separated unto Jesus, I'm telling you, if we'll get separated unto only worrying about his opinion, we'll see a lot of people separate from us. Hey, don't be discouraged when it's the religious crowd, when it's the brethren that separate from you. Amen. opinion. They'll be the first ones when you quit worrying about their opinion. They'll be the first ones to leave you. Hey, man wants to control you. Hey, we got it real bad in our fundamental independent Baptist circles that everybody wants to be controlled or everybody wants to do the controlling. Hey, these boys was not planning on being controlled by anybody. They weren't planning on being controlled by an earthly king, but they was planning on being controlled by the King of Kings. Amen. Hey, they knew in whom they have believed. Amen. And I'm telling you tonight that they didn't care where they were. They didn't, hey, it, you know, most of us say, well, it's a place. A lot of times we'll say, we need another job. We need another church. I need another wife. I need another husband. I just need another family. I need another group of friends. Hey, it ain't another place you need. It's another person you need, friend. I'm just telling you tonight, I have determined. Sometime in Africa, I'm just being, I am a transparent, wide open to my fault missionary. When I get done, you'll want to drop my suborn. If you don't already. In Africa, sometimes we'll just sit there and say, oh Lord, if I could just get back to America. If I could just kiss the ground. If I could just smell the air. If I could just ride on the smooth roads. If I, my wife says, if I could just go to Walmart. But truly, it ain't another place we need. It's just the person we need. We just need to focus on the person. Let me give you the word. I've got a title of this thing, but I don't even like the title. I'm just going to give you the title of this. Continue. Look at that last verse in chapter number 1. It says, and Daniel continued. Daniel continued. I'm telling you tonight, if there's only one thing that I can get across to you, we need to just continue. You come up to a broken road. You come up to a locked door. You come up to something that don't seem impassable. Continue. I was preparing and trying to finish this thing, and I'm just telling you the truth. I was in a Sunday school room down at Brother Tommy Turner's, and I got up off my face of praying and asking God. I said, I'm going to look like a bumbling moron tonight. I'm trying to choose my words wisely. I said, God, help me. And all of a sudden, there was a map in there in the junior boys' Sunday school room, and it was how the nation of Israel had went. And God said, look at this. And you know, they could have just went up through Gaza and slipped in and not had to go across the Jordan River. And they tried to do that. They did try to do that. And they came up on Arad. And Arad defeated them. And them old boys took a quick U-turn and went on back down to Kadesh Barnea and didn't believe God, so they couldn't go in. But some of us, sometimes we might find some defeat, and it may just be because God wants us to go another way. Hey, I got an old friend down in Alabama. His name's David Taft. He's always talking about them wise men. You know, they went another way. He said, I want to be like the wise men and go another way. Sometimes God will bring things into our life that we'll have to make a U-turn and go another way. But it didn't say stop. It said continue on. As long, many times we'll run into a roadblock and we think God says stop. No, he just redirected, amen. Hey, it's amazing if you was driving to work tomorrow morning and the bridge you needed to cross to get to work and you got bills to pay and you got a family to feed, you'd find another way to get to work. But you let this smallest little obstacle come up in serving God, and we just want to give up. I said, well, God, does this mean you're done? There's war in South Sudan. Does that mean you're done, God? I can't work with this missionary in the northern part of the country. Does that mean you're done, God? I can't find land in this town to plant this church, God. Does that mean you're done, God? The other missionaries, we can't come together and work as a team. Does that mean you're done, God? I'm about to lose my mind over here, God. Does that mean you're done, God? The church ain't growing. Does that mean you're done, God? You won't know how how many times on a Sunday morning, Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, I prayed, God, I know we're preaching the book. I know we've established this thing right. We're supporting missions. I don't know of anybody else supporting missions like this little old church is trying to say. God, we're trying to do it all right. Does that mean you're done, God? I said, no. Continue. Continue. Just keep on going. You see here, I see David's name. You probably know this. Is God is my judge. Now, something I've learned about how they do names, and I'm going to be honest with you, the Africans have inherited a lot of the Arab culture, and the Arab culture has hijacked the Hebrew culture. It's all been hijacked. You don't understand what I mean by that. They've adopted it, and they've tried to make it their own, but it was God's people's before it was anyone else's. But one of the things about names is a mother usually would name a child something that was significant about her pregnancy. I got one man that is in the ministry with us over there, and I said, what does your name mean? And he said, my mother carried me for so long, everybody started saying, what's in there? You remember that? He said, what's in there? That's what his name means. What's in there? Another one was named Opio. Come to find out he had a twin. And every twin is named Opio and Apio. The first one's Opio. The next one's Apio. Names. So I got to looking at this. And I just believe that Daniel came into this world. And I believe his mother may have been judged. Because she named this boy, God is my judge. Hey, this little boy didn't. Hey, some of us sitting in here tonight, we might not have come from the best background, but we know now God is our judge. You can't judge me for my family. You can't judge me for my friends. God is my judge. And that's old Daniel. Old Daniel had that mindset. Hey, you walk around and all the time say, my name's God's my judge. God's my judge. Hey, if you'll say something long enough, you'll believe it. Amen. If you'll say it long enough, you'll believe it. I'm not talking about brainwashing and that type of thing. Hey, we need a heart washing is what we need. A heart washing by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you believe long enough that you've been defeated, you'll give up. Amen. But he said, God is my judge. This man was, I want to look at his person for just a minute. The person of Daniel. He was a man, he was unwilling to compromise. He was not willing to compromise. He didn't look around and see what everybody else was doing and see just how close to the edge he could get. He had settled in his heart that he would not compromise. And he was just going to continue. I see Daniel was wise in the way he done things. He wasn't disrespectful. Hey, I'm asking God to give me that wisdom that I can not compromise but be wise. Amen. We need to, in this day, we're going to have to get real wise. We're going to have to learn how to be wise. I'm not talking about being deceitful. No, we got enough deceit going on. When we manipulate words and manipulate things and leave certain things out to get what we want, that is deceit. Daniel left nothing out. Daniel told this man, Daniel told the prince of the eunuchs that he was not going to eat the king's meat. But he was wise and he said, hey, just give me 10 days and I'll show you that we're going to be fairer than anybody else. He was wise. He didn't just go rebel. He wasn't rebellious. He was wise in what he did. I see Daniel was the person of Daniel. And then I see verse number 8. Let's look at verse 8, chapter 1. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. He purposed. You see, we need, if you've never done it, we need right now today, you need to make a major decision. A major decision that you're not going to compromise to this perverted culture. You see, when you step out into the world that you step out into, it is not the world you grew up in. It's not the world you were born in. It has changed quickly, even over the last 5 years. It is not the same world. And we need to decide today. We need to decide now. You don't need to wait until you're confronted with it. Daniel had decided somewhere from Judah to Babylon that he was not going to defile himself, that he was going to still stand with the living God. He was going to keep his standards, his holy standards. Now let me say something, I've been studying on standards because I'm about separated and I about ain't got nobody anymore. Amen. Me, my four. Man, I like jumped out of my skin when your preacher called me. I said, there ain't nobody got to him. They ain't told him about me. He's going to call around everywhere now. What's going on, Brother Holloway? Listen, I want to stand strong. I want to be right. But something about standards that has come to me is a lot of our standards, we do them for performance. We wear our skirts so we can show everybody that we're more spiritual than they are. We do. We do what we do so we can perform. God ain't pleased with that. God ain't pleased with that. You know how you know that? Because when this crowd's with this crowd, they act this way. And when they're with that crowd, they act that. Bunch of chameleons. I just ain't going to be like that. I just ain't going to be like that. I'm just going to be me. I'm going to be who God has made me to be. Because I got some little girls that's coming up. And they see Daddy. And I want them to know Daddy's the same when he's over here, he's over there. Well, I'm telling you what, when you be like that, and when you tell people, I can't go there, I can't socialize with them, I can't run with them, I will not go preach for that man, I will not go preach for that man or that man, they'll tear you down. They'll say, oh, he's a legalist, or he's mean. No, I'm not running them men down. I'm just saying, I can't go there. I don't want to hurt none of them. We cannot judge another man's servant. But I can judge who I'm going to stick with. And Daniel had made a decision who he was going to stick with. He was going to stick with God's people, even if there wasn't before of them. He was going to stick with them four. Hey, there was a whole lot more there. But those four had stuck together. Hey, I believe it made it a whole lot easier when there was four of them that stuck together. Because when you're all alone, oh, friend, it's hard. I'm telling you the truth. It's hard. And young man, if you compromise, if you start slipping your language and you start slipping what you do with your mouth and your body and your eyes and your mind, if you start slipping, that one beside you is going to slip and that other one's going to slip, because no man liveth to himself. Every man liveth and dieth, and it affects every one of us. How I live affects you. How you live affects me. Every one of us, we need to continue in the way God. You say, well, it's an old way. We're living in a new world today. Hey, I see where in the old way is the right way. Hey, I see where it's a narrow path. Hey, it ain't a broad way. It's a broad way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that find it. Amen? But there's a narrow way that leadeth to life. Hey, it ain't easy. It ain't easy. Hey, I'll tell you how it wouldn't. I'm not even preaching the notes anymore. I'm just preaching my heart. I'm going to tell you the truth. I believe this is, and I'm not preaching that we ought to pray three times a day. I think we probably ought to pray more than that. I think we ought to pray without ceasing, amen? I don't mean hide in a prayer closet somewhere, but we need to walk around talking to God, having a conversation going on in the meditations of our heart daily, daily, daily. But Daniel needed to pray three times a day because he was in a perverted world. That's the only way he was going to make it through. I just wonder what would have happened if one of these other boys had just decided they was going to drop off. And another one drop off, and another one drop off, and then Daniel standing all by himself. Would he have still stood? You know, every time one drops out of the ministry, preachers, You know every time a church goes liberal, you know that in some part of you, congregation, it kills you a little bit. It kills you a little bit. And it makes you weak, and you're more susceptible to go in that way as well. We need to continue. We need to continue. We need to encourage others to continue. I've been doing a lot of thinking, and he purposed in his heart. Even though it might be lonely, even though others may speak ill of him, he had purposed in his heart to not defile himself. We defile ourselves with all sorts of things in this life. The things we listen to, the things we see. But then also I see in verse 9, Daniel's promoter. Hallelujah, glory to God. Because I believe one of the main reasons that we defile ourselves, we want to get in and we want to run with the running. We want to run with the popular crowd. I'm speaking on that form. But even in schools, you want to run with the popular crowd. You want to run with the football players. And who cares if they're going out drinking later on? At work, you want to stand beside the water cooler and you want to listen to the jokes. You don't want to sit by yourself and eat your lunch. Yeah. Oh, you, at church, you want to have fellowship with all the churches around us, but sometimes they go the wrong way. Hey, we stayed on the same road. We continued. They're the ones that went another way. But Daniel's promoter here. You see, sometimes we feel like we got to go the way with everyone else because we're dependent on them to promote us. But verse 9 says, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. It was God that had promoted Daniel. If it's God that has promoted you and I, then we don't have to be worried about everyone else. I have changed pastors 3 times since I started in the missions world. Me and a pastor got ran off from one church. Pastor Ray Stewart took me in. Pastor Ray Stewart graduated and went home to heaven. Glory to God. Now, Pastor Davis Shelton's my pastor. I had to change churches. Now I've got a new missions director. And all of these things affect missionaries. They affect them greatly. And when the new people come, sometimes it feels like they don't know you. They don't know how you started. They don't know what you've went through. They don't know the crosses you've bared. They don't know if you're honest or if you're in it for the right reasons or the wrong reasons. The same thing with supporting churches. But if God was originally your promoter, you have nothing to worry about. Although some may fall away, God will not leave you. Friend, if God has put you in this church, it does not matter. You stay and continue where God has put you. You just continue on where God's put you. Until God makes it clear through his word that he's moved you, you stay where God's put you. Just stay where God has put you. God was his promoter. Then I see Daniel's plan as we look at verses number 10. It said, and the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my Lord the God, I fear my Lord the King, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your face worse looking than the children which are your sort? He just didn't know they wasn't his sort. Amen. I could stop and preach right there for a little while. Just because we all look alike may not be the same sort. Amen. The world sees. Well, I will stop. I'll pull it neutral right there for just a minute. And speak on that sort for just a little bit. Your sort. Amen. I'll tell you what, we get a bad name from some folks because of the, I'm talking about having standards, but I'm not talking about being mean. I'm not talking about being mean to folks. Hey, you can never reach somebody you can't touch You'll never reach somebody. Hey, I'm not talking about just ignoring everybody and letting them die and go to hell because they don't look like us, they don't smell like us, they don't talk like us, they don't walk like us, they don't sing like us. That ain't what I'm talking about, friend. I believe that's standards based on performance rather than standards based on holiness. Standards are to keep us, bring us closer in line with doctrine. Doctrine comes from the Word of God. Standards is application that lets us live out doctrine. And if our standard ain't helping us live out doctrine, it ain't a biblical standard. But sometimes we get a bad name because of how those that look like us and maybe even bear the same name as us. Hey, we've got to live that they might. Hey, we ain't got to run them down. You never see Daniel run that sword down. You never see Daniel say anything about that sword. He said, don't worry about them. Just look at me. I'm the one making this request. Just give me 10 days. Don't worry about them. Say, I can't do it. I can't answer for what everyone else has done. I just want to tell you that I love you, that Jesus loves you, and we want to help you grow, and we want to mend your broken heart, and we want to help you get over. I'm talking about continuing. Don't just give up. Don't just stop because other people have ruined our sort. Amen? That was free. It wasn't in the notes, but the Holy Ghost gave it to me as we read it. Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melchiah, whom the priest of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hanel, Mishael, and Hazorah. Here I see his plan. His plan was only not to defile himself. His plan was not to hurt everyone else. His plan was not to boast himself. Daniel is not even trying to get favor. Daniel is not trying to get favor with this man. And you know, many times we'll say things and we'll